Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in downtown Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Well, this is Election Day, and I hope everybody is out there who did not vote early and vote until 7 o'clock. But here's the good news. This is a non-election show. We haven't had one of these in quite some time. So we have brought in, direct from the power capital, Craig Spencer, who is the CEO of York Electric Cooperative. Appreciate you being here, Craig, particularly on Election Day. Did you vote, by the way?
I have voted, Manny. Thank
That's
you.
Good.
Thank you for having me.
I'd have to chastise you if you didn't vote.
Yes,
good for
sir.
You. So you're still relatively new as a CEO. You've had that job for how long now?
About 5 months.
5 months. Okay.
Yep. Still new.
Still new. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about Craig Spencer.
Well, originally from York County, grew up in Hickory Grove, went to the University of South Carolina, got my electrical engineering degree, came to the co-op in 92 and worked my way up from there. I did a little bit of everything from there, from purchasing to engineering, and now I've been blessed to be chosen by the board to be the CEO.
Good for you. And I bet you were hooting and hollering when the Gamecocks took down Texas
Absolutely. A&M. Absolutely. We've been close a lot this year, but we finally pulled it out.
How did you and Paul Basher get along during football season, since he's such a diehard Clemson fan?
He is definitely a diehard, and, you know, we had a lot of good fun with it. Usually, unfortunately, he came out on top on those contests, but we had a lot of fun with it.
Good for you. So as I mentioned to you before the show, we have so many new people who are located, and rightfully so, here to York County. I understand why. But I don't think those people have the slightest idea what a co-op is, let alone what York Electric Co-op is. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to explain what an electric cooperative is, if you would.
Be glad to, Manny. As you said, a lot of people don't even know who their power provider is. So anyway, co-ops were formed back in the 30s and the 40s to distribute power to the rural parts of South Carolina and across the nation, really. The investor owns the Dukes and the SCNGs, the old SCNGs of the world, wouldn't go out into the countryside. So the farmers kind of got together and, with the help of the federal government, worked and formed electric cooperatives to distribute electricity to the countryside. So the thing that makes co-op different is we are owned by our members, and so the members get a vote at our annual meeting each year. We have 9 board of directors, and we have 3 of those that are up for election each year. So each member has a voice, and they get to say in how their co-op is ran.
It's very interesting. I can remember, because I've been a co-op customer for so long, the annual meetings used to be a heck of a lot of fun. They were great big rallies. I mean, there were tens of thousands of people would show up.
There was a lot. Yes, sir.
For those 10-cent hot dogs and 5-cent Cokes or whatever it was.
I think that's what it was, 25-cent and 10-cent, yeah.
Well, you've streamlined that.
We have streamlined it. We do all drive-through registration now. Wow. It's very convenient. We try and get people in and out pretty quickly. We did bring hot dogs back last year due to great demand. We had stopped that during COVID, but we did bring it back last year, and so it was a big success.
And I was just a little bit too late to get my hot dogs. I Mark Howie's on my to-do list for next time.
Show up early, man.
Show up early. So the co-ops are really providing the electricity to rural areas that would not have it today had it not been for the co-ops.
That's correct, yeah. Uh-huh. And those rural areas today are now a lot of subdivisions and areas that have grown up, really.
Particularly, I mean, you can take a look at your own territory, Fort Mill.
Oh, yes,
I mean,
sir.
Fort Mill, when the York Electric Co-op was formed, was a bunch of trees.
Very much so, very much so. Actually, when I came in 92, we had about 20,000 members, And we're almost at 70,000 now. So in 32 years, we've grown almost 50,000 members.
So how did you actually carve out territories with the providers who were already there? I bet you that was an interesting discussion.
It was before my time, of course. But used to be before the late 60s, co-ops and the IOUs would compete to serve. And you may have a new house being built down this road. Well, they were actually, the co-op may be building one way and Duke may be building the other way. And so it was a race. And so it got to be, you know, pretty inefficient to do that. So the state legislature, in its infinite wisdom, designed territorial assignment, and certain areas were assigned to the co-ops, certain areas were assigned to the investor owns, and some areas were left unassigned, amazingly enough. So those areas still get a choice on who gets to serve those areas.
It's interesting that where I live, down the end of my street, which is no more than several hundred yards, that customer is on the City of Rock Hill's electric line. Mm-hmm. I'm on the co-op line. That's how tight these lines get.
Very, very much. There, you may have one side of the street may be York Electric, another side may be the city, especially as the city has grown and annexed other territories. They have the right to serve those new facilities when they annex an area. So if a co-op line is going through there, we can't serve any additional customers off of that.
But that's not to say that from time to time you all don't negotiate those lines. Isn't that true?
We do, especially with Duke. The co-op and Duke, you know, we'll work together to make it so that we're trying not to split a neighborhood or something like that, so that it kind of makes sense.
Right. All right, so you all distribute the power.
Yes, sir.
But you get the power from where? Where does your power come from?
Well, we're a part of Central Electric Cooperative, which is owned by the 19 co-ops in the state. So that Central Electric was formed to buy power. We don't generate our own power. We generate a little bit through purchase power agreements with some solar and stuff like that. But Central's contracts is mainly with Santee Cooper, which they get about 70% of their power from Santee Cooper. And the remaining 30%, almost 30%, is from Duke.
All right. So that when you talk about somebody as large as Duke, they could be drawing that power from anywhere. They could be drawing it from right up here at Lake Wylie, or they could be drawing it from Lake Norman or wherever.
Or they could be Ohio.
Yeah.
I mean, they have transmission lines that tie to other utilities around the country. So the Duke has a wide transmission network that they can draw from as they need power, or if they have excess power and other folks need power, they can transport it over the transmission lines to those areas.
So now Santee Cooper is a state-owned utility, is that right?
Yes, sir.
And they generate their own power from different places.
They generate their own. They also buy some, you know, as markets, as they need to. They can buy when it's available.
When it's available.
When it's available and at what cost it's available.
Which is an interesting segue into the big question, which is facing the state of South Carolina right now. Do we have enough readily available power to meet the growth demands that are hitting this state virtually everywhere? I mean, we're a state now of over 5 million people, which is a good million and a half more than when I came here 40 years ago, and the clip of growth is accelerated.
South Carolina is the fastest growing state in the nation, and so we don't have enough power available for the future. I mean, as it continues to grow over the next couple of years, we're going to run into shortfalls, especially during extreme temperatures, unless we do something.
So you're not the only one talking about this, are you?
No, sir. Not by a long shot. You know, we need more readily available, dispatchable is what it's called, electric generation, so that it's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, which pretty much lends itself to coal, natural gas, nuclear. Solar's great, wind's great, but it's not always available. Nighttime, obviously, calm days, extreme temperatures, you've got to have power to meet that demand.
Yeah. So you're one of 19 co-ops. Central is your
in South
mother,
Carolina.
In mother, your mothership. So my guess is that somebody, you know, who runs Central must be ringing the bell down there in Columbia saying, hey, we got to do something to meet this problem before it meets us.
Yes, that's true, Manning. We're Central's working with Santee Cooper, Dominion, Duke to do what they can to meet that those needs to get a new power plant built. So there's plans on the table to build a new power plant down in Canady's, and that's part of what the legislature's going through right now, or will be going through when they come back into session to hopefully get that approved and moving forward.
Now, that would be, I don't think it would be a nuclear plant, would it?
No, it's a natural gas plant. It would be owned by Dominion and Santee Cooper.
Can't come soon enough, can it?
No, sir. Not in my opinion.
So when you sit here in an area like York County, which is growing very, very rapidly, do you have any, sleepless nights thinking about, I don't know whether I can handle another subdivision?
No, it's not quite to that point. But, you know, when it does get super hot and super cold, like we had last, December of 22, Christmas Eve of 22, we had a close call then, but it was not strictly due to the temperatures. There were some power plants that were offline due to maintenance that was planned, and some tripped offline due to malfunctioning equipment. So it kind of highlighted the narrow margins that we're working under.
Have you ever gotten at the co-op to a point where you had to consider, rolling brownouts or blackouts or whatever they call them?
Consider, yes. We never had to do it. The closest we came was that Christmas Eve morning in 22.
When it just got cold as it could be.
It was very cold, and like I said, there were several power plants that weren't producing at that time for a variety of reasons.
So. And that's the same year that Texas went crazy down there, was it not?
I think it was. It might have been a year before.
Maybe a year before. There was a mess down there.
Yeah.
All right, so this is on your radar.
Dead center.
But you voice those concerns all through Central, or do you independently voice those, let's say, to our delegation here in York County?
We voice them both ways, through Central and through our delegation, through our elected officials. We try and let them know, that we do need this new power plant.
So do you ever pick up the phone and call your counterparts up in Duke and say, hey, I could use your big clout to help us get this along?
I don't really. Central would do that.
Okay. Yes, sir. So this is a problem that needs to be dealt with sooner rather than later.
In my opinion, yes.
And sooner would be a window of what? 3-4 years? 5 years?
To get the legislation passed or to get the power plant
built? Get the plant
built. Oh, the plant will probably take about 4 to 5, 6 years to build. So, yeah, it needs to get started sooner than later.
So we need to get that approved like this legislative session.
It would be very good to get it done, yes.
And so the state would do what? Would they put money into this thing? If it's Santee, I guess it would have to.
It's given Santee Cooper permission to work with Dominion Energy on doing it.
Okay.
And I think there were some regulations and kind of things like that they had to work through with through the law with it.
But I would imagine with the clout that 19 co-ops have that you've got people's attention down there.
We hope we do. Uh-huh. Yeah, and it's not about the 19 co-ops. It's about the million citizens of South Carolina that get power from the co-ops. Mm-hmm. So that's our end goal. Obviously, is to make sure that we have power for all of our South Carolina citizens and co-op members.
And I could imagine that's a pretty powerful tool because you could put out a call to arms through your membership, saying here's a problem we're facing. And we need you to start blistering them on the telephone.
Yes, sir. And that's something that we've done in the past, and that's something that we're asking our members. And you don't even have to be a member to become a member of Voices for Cooperative Power. It's a kind of an app and a website that we can transmit information to our members and to whoever signs up. Of some issues that we may want them to call their legislatures on or to send an email or a text to.
Well, I'm glad we're having this discussion because, it won't be too much longer before we're going to get all the delegation members through here, one by one by one by one by one.
Okay.
And we'll just keep bringing this topic up.
Oh, that would be good.
Because we don't need to run out of electricity in the broadcasting business. No. We've got a real problem.
No, sir.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, relax here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. You can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. All right, he's a bright guy. He's done this before. We do fresh subs and salads, and we do them 6 days a week here at Substation 2. How do we do it? It's in the white letters at the count of three. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice. Garden, 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 garden.
Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Stuck in the office? Can't get away from school? Then go to our website, mysubstationii.com, click on your delivery choice, place your order, and they'll bring your sub or salad to you at home, school, the office, or even where you're watching the game. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
The Piedmont Medical Center Women's Tower at our Rock Hill campus boasts fully furnished labor and delivery rooms and family care suites. Our Level 3 NICU is equipped to provide advanced medical treatments for premature infants and infants who may have complications. Inside the Women's Tower, families begin bonding with their special deliveries in private family care suites, allowing mom and baby to relax with ease. Learn more at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
There are very few genuine money managers in America, and one just happens to be your neighbor. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see what a money manager can do for you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or go online to AndersonGriggs.com.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Ready for a win-win? For a limited time, upgrade your ride for less and score a chance to win the ultimate football experience. That's right. From now until October 31st, apply for an auto loan at a reduced rate with Founders Federal Credit Union, and you're automatically entered to win four tickets to the Clemson versus USC game in Death Valley on November 30th, an exclusive Death Valley experience and a Founders tailgate package. Stop by a Founders office or apply online today. Visit foundersfcu.com/auto to learn more. Terms and conditions apply. No purchase necessary. Membership qualification required.
If life is getting in the way of having your favorite substation sub or salad, there is a solution. Just go to our website, mysubstationii.com, click on your delivery choice, place your order, and they'll bring it to you wherever you are. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop. This is Charlie Ruffalo, and I paid for this message.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Craig Spencer is with us today. He's the CEO of York Electric Cooperative, a job he's had for about 5 months, but he's been with the co-op for over 30 years.
Yes, sir.
So I guess you earned your stripes, huh?
I think so, yes, sir.
Well, speaking of earning your stripes, I must admit, after the storm, I did chuckle, thinking, you know, Paul Basher retired just about the right time because he didn't have to deal with Hurricane Helene, because it came through and it just ripped everything apart.
Yes, sir, it did. We had a disaster on our hands, as you said, but as I told you when I came in, I said, you know, to consider yourself lucky, we were lucky that the storm went about 50 miles further east, or we would have had a whole lot more damage. So our friends and neighbors to the west really got hit hard.
Mm. So when you take a look at the initial impact on the co-op, you just lost a lot of power everywhere because that storm just ripped up everything. The lines everywhere.
Yeah, it was actually the worst outage York Electric's ever had in its history. I wasn't here in Hugo, but I was in college. And from what I've heard, during Hugo, there was a lot more damage, and we didn't have a single meter on after the hurricane came through in 89. However, since, like we talked about before, we've grown from 20,000 to almost 70,000 members now. And at the height of Helene, we had a little over 34,000 members out. So about half of our system was out after Helene.
Jeez. So, polls were down, lines were down, everything.
Poles were down, lines were down, trees online, a lot of debris to clear, a lot of substations were out due to transmission problems, which is something that we haven't really seen in the past a lot, but really the whole upstate, especially the western part of the state, Duke transmission lines were down, Santee Cooper transmission lines were down in the lower part of the state, so a lot of damage that we don't normally see.
So the responsibility of those transmission lines is Duke's?
Duke's and Santee Cooper. So that's what we had. I think we had about six substations off initially.
Ooh.
We got it back, got them on to, they got it back on to about three of them the first day. And then we had three more substations that we had to, three that we had to wait a couple of days on before it Duke could get them back on. So we concentrated our efforts like we always do where we can get the power back on to the membership. So where we could, we got those lines back up and members restored. And then even before Duke got the transmission line back onto those substations, we were working in those areas, clearing the trees from the lines, getting lines back up, poles replaced, so that once Duke did get it back up, we could get it back on quicker.
Now, you don't keep online enough people to handle something like this, do you?
No, sir.
You had a call to the troops from everywhere.
Yes, sir. And this storm was a little bit different than a lot in the past. You know, a lot of times it hits the coast or so we would go help the coast.
Right.
Well, this storm, it hit pretty much the whole state of South Carolina. Not to the extent it did us and those to the west of us on the coast, but they had to clear up their mess before they could send us help. It also went through Florida, Georgia, Tennessee. So where we would normally draw a lot of our other co-op crews from to help this restoration, they were unavailable. So we ended up, we did get a few folks from Berkeley Electric Cooperative, Tri-County Electric Cooperative in South Carolina. We also ended up getting some from Alabama. Central Alabama Electric Cooperative came and helped us. We got a crew from Union Electric up in North Carolina for a couple of days, plus some contractors that we got that actually ended up being from Oklahoma, Texas and Oklahoma. So they had actually been to Florida, and they got released down there, so we got them a couple of days into the storm to help us with all those pole changeouts. The pole changeouts really take a lot of time. On average, they're about 3 to 4 hours to change out a single pole. You know, some are a lot less, some are a lot more, depending on how complicated they are. But those broke poles really slow things down.
I mean, you not only have to dig a hole and put the new pole in, but then you got to put all the equipment on top of it.
Oh, yes, sir. You got to put it all back up, get the wires back on there, and get it all connected back up. So
while all this is going on, and you were able to get everybody back up in a couple of days?
We were out for 6 days. We were back on, I think the last member came back on Wednesday after the storm, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, if I remember correctly.
Well, I know everybody was ringing, help me, help me, help me, but, it takes time.
Oh, it does, and, nothing would have made us happier to get it back on the same day, but, some things just aren't possible, so... But we were blessed to get it back on that quickly, and then once we gave our guys a little bit of rest, we sent help to other co-ops.
Yeah,
we sent help over to Broad River. We sent crews over to them. We sent crews down to Little River, down in McCormick County. We also sent some member service reps over to Blue Ridge Co-op in Pickens because they were just shorthanded. People have been working so long.
Right.
So we're helping our member co-op, our fellow co-ops out with just all kinds of different help.
So, got it. I don't think most people realize, I remember I had this conversation with my wife when we lost our power during that storm. You've got technology in place that lets you know when somebody goes out. You don't need to call it. You need to call the cover.
Not quite. We have technology that lets us know when circuits go out and that kind of thing. That does lead me into, we are about to start on a project, a meter replacement project, where we will know once that meter goes out. It will let us, it'll notify us that the power's out. It'll notify us when the power comes back on. It'll give us a lot more information that we can use to speed up restoration, but it'll also provide us a lot more information that we can in turn pass on to our membership so that they can manage their usage. They can do a lot of their own type stuff to be more empowered of their usage in their power bill.
So how big is this project? I mean, you got 70,000 members.
Yes, sir. It'll take us about 3 or 4 years to do. Shoot. Be replacing it out. But it's an expensive project, but we have to keep up with technology to provide the reliable service that our members expect from us. So
is it just a function of somebody making a visit and pulling the old meter out and putting the new meter in?
Oh, that's a big part of it, but we also have to put it'll be a radio signal that will go to our substation, so we have to put antennas up in our substations, that kind of thing, and a few other spots around our service territory. So it'll mainly be in substations, but there'll be some that'll be placed on poles in more remote areas of our service territory.
So you got to get that part in place before you start putting meters in place, is that right?
Yes, sir. But we will do that, and you know, once you get an antenna in place, you can go in and put those meters around that antenna. Right. So it'll be in a kind of a, not really a substation by substation basis, but pretty much an area basis. So
has this started yet?
No, we've got it will be next year. We've got material on order, and we may get a little bit of it installed by the end of the year, but kind of be touch and go. Probably be next year.
Isn't that interesting? Wow.
Yeah.
This is not an inexpensive project, is it?
No, sir. Not an inexpensive project at all, but you know, we have to make investments in the system to make sure that we're providing that reliable power and giving the membership the information they need to make wise decisions on our usage.
And when you say information, that intrigues me. What's this new meter going to tell me besides what I see on the bill?
It should be able to tell you when you're using, if you want to know, how much power you use in what hour. So, you know, it can say that, you know, between 6 and 7 in the morning, you use so many kilowatt hours. And typically while you're at work, you're going to use a lot less. But it'll help you to know when you're using power and being able to perhaps adjust your usage so that it doesn't align with peak times. And if you shed load during those peak times, it helps the co-op because we don't have to buy as much power during those high cost periods, so it helps lower our cost, which helps you in turn as a member of the co-op.
That is a whole nother program someday on that Ouija board of how you do that. I can't even begin to understand how that works. Oh, Lord. Woo!
It's complicated.
I bet you it's complicated. You're an engineer. I'm a broadcaster, so you work a whole level above me.
Well, no, I don't know about that, Manning. But the the thing is the co-op's got a power bill just like the member does. So if we can control our costs, we've got less costs that we have to pass on to the membership.
So with these new meters, on any given time, I could go online and figure out what's going on in my house?
Not instantly, but yes, you should be able to go online and look at your past history. You know, for prior days, weeks, months, whatever. And you should be able to tie it to temperatures and that kind of thing so that you know, well, you know, it was super hot that day, so that kind of explains why my air conditioning was probably running a little bit more. Hey, I had a big party at the house, invited all my friends and family over, and, you know, they ran the air conditioning all day.
His name is Craig Spencer. He's the CEO of York Electric Cooperative. Thank you for giving us a half hour of your time.
Thank you, man.
And for the good work that the co-op does throughout our community. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments of Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. We didn't even get time to talk about the Roundup program, but we'll do that later at another time, where you give back to the community. It's tremendous. Okay, so what we do here at Substation 2, fresh subs and salads 6 days a week. How we do it in the white letters, everybody at the count of three, repeat after me. 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Have yourself a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.